Okay. I'm going to call the meeting in order. We do have a quorum. The first item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 22nd meeting. Representative Ruth moves approval of the March 22nd minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. 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 Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. The next item on the agenda is Senate File 4, Representative Davis. Thank you for being on time today.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Members, we've spent quite a bit of time with this bill. There's two amendments in your packet.
Yes.
I would like to move the A24 amendment. What this amendment does is, you'll recall that when we dealt with this bill before, we added a provision that would have set specific standards for purchasing of vehicles and alternative fuel consumption, in meeting with some very capable and helpful staff members from the various departments. It became apparent that that was unworkable, and this particular amendment uses what's kind of a common strategy at the legislature, is turning it into a study and a report that piggybacks off of the governor's executive order on this issue. And so we're hoping that we begin to address this issue without a hard mandate, but rather some goals to achieve and some regular reporting to the legislature. Representative Hausman.
What's the number?
A24.
Oh.
Are there any questions on the A24 amendment? Representative Davis, do you have any comments that you'd like to make relative to that?
No.
All right, is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the A24 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A24 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The A24 amendment is adopted. The next item that we need to deal with is the A25 amendment. This is an amendment that was brought forward by Representative Hornstein. It addresses an issue. As you'll recall, he had an amendment that talked about environmental assessment or EIS statement.
Yes.
And there was concern in the audience about the facility that was already well into the planning stages, that we wanted to make sure that we didn't impede the progress and planning of that particular plant. Representative Abrams offered an oral amendment to the Hornstein amendment, and in looking at it, we're not sure that it was clear enough, or that would, in fact, maybe Representative Hornstein, if you want to provide more detail for why you'd like us to support your A25 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to members of the committee and to Representative Davids for your patience last time with this issue. What we did last time is we exempted the Heron Lake facility, which my amendment does continue to exempt. That was the key issue last time, and while I disagreed with that decision, I understand why the committee wanted to go in that direction. But what we had was an effective date for the new policy of July 07, and what I've learned since then is that there was a real concern that this loophole lasting over 2 years might interfere with the intent of my amendment in the first place. So we would still exempt Heron Lake from environmental review, but we would just move up the effective date of the new policy. So that's all this does. It's a technical change. It upholds the spirit of what the committee did last time, but just I think really affirms the intent of the original amendment in a much clearer way.
All right. Thank you, Representative Hornstein. My understanding is that you have been in frequent contact with the representatives of that plant, and
right.
I appreciate your willingness to work with them. Are there any committee members that have questions of Representative Hornstein on the A25 amendment? Representative Davis, would you like to comment on the A25 amendment?
Just that the question I would have is to Representative Hornstein, as far as I believe that Heron Lake is the only one permitted, the only one who would have been affected by the amendment. Basically, I can see that, you know, by that date out that far, we might have 20 more applicants for coal plants, and it's my intent to make sure that Heron Lake is not harmed. And I do not believe there are any other permits at this time that this would affect, so I would, that's fine.
And my understanding is that Representative Hornstein did contact the PCA to confirm whether or not there were any permits pending at this time.
And there are none.
I think we're okay. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the A25 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A25 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The A25 amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments to be presented to the Senate File 4? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the bill as amended? Representative Davis, do you have any final words, comments
just
about your extended visit with our committee?
I did sit. Madam Chair and members, thank you for your indulgence, and I really do appreciate the time and the thorough hearing that you've given this bill. I'll be referring to this bill from this point on as the Senator Dallas Sam's E20 ethanol bill. Bills get named around this place, and I think for the work he's done on ethanol and in the situation he's in right now, I'll be referring to this bill as the Senator Dallas Sam's E20 ethanol bill.
All right, thank you.
And I appreciate your support.
Thank you. Any additional questions, members? All right, I'm not sure, but I'd have to go back to the minutes to find out who originally. I think it was Representative Magnus moved the bill, and so we'll renew. Representative Magnus renews his motion that Senate File 4 be recommended to pass and referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The motion is adopted.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. Representative Hackbarth, I don't see Representative Howes. You're here. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Howes is in the very back of the room. He must be one of those students that always hung out in the last row in the classroom. Welcome to the committee, Representative Howes, and I'll move consideration of Senate File 1466, and if you'll explain the bill to the committee, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill deals with weight restrictions on utility vehicles up to 20,000 pounds per axle on all roads of the states, especially seasonally posted roads. We passed this legislation in the year 2000, and subsequent technical changes within two sections of law somehow inadvertently dropped this weight exemption. This bill simply reinstates that exemption, and we do have weight restrictions on as we speak. And if we have an ice storm or a windstorm, we need to get those utility vehicles in there to do the repairs, and that's what this bill will do.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to add any additional comments?
Yeah.
All right. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to Senate File 1466? Members of the committee, do you have any questions on Senate File 1466? Seeing none, I will move that Senate File 1466 be recommended, approved, and referred to the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Thank you very much, Representative Howes. Representative Hackbarth. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
This bill, House File 684, will be heard today and laid over for possible inclusion in the Transportation Finance Omnibus Bill. Representative Hackbarth, if you'd like to explain the bill to the committee, please, and pay particular attention to those items that are under the purview of the Finance Committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. This is a department bill for the Department of Natural Resources that I'm carrying. And with me today, I have Mr. Bob Meyer from the Department of Natural Resources to discuss the bill and explain the bill. And then we do have an amendment. And do we need to move the bill, or are you just holding it over for possible inclusion? Or?
It will be held over for possible inclusion.
And then we have the 392 amendment also.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to move that at this time?
Somebody would move that for me.
I'd be happy to do that. I would like to move approval of Amendment 392. To House File 684. Would you like to explain the amendment, please?
Madam Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources, Legislative Affairs Director. The AO5392 amendment is an amendment brought to us by the Department of Public Safety dealing with Section 10 of the bill, which is the reason for this bill to be in front of the committee today. Section 10 of the bill expands the capabilities of the program, critical habitat license plates, the loon plates and the deer plates, which people are so fond of, to recreational equipment. The definition of recreational equipment as found in 168.011 sub 25 means travel trailers, including those which telescope or fold down, chassis-mounted campers, house cars, motorhomes, tent trailers, flip-in campers and converted buses that provide temporary human living quarters. Typically the big over-the-road RVs is what we're looking for. The amendment brings into compliance the language in the bill with Department of Public Safety requirements that we will have to do a new design to allow the weight restriction stickers on some of these vehicles to be incorporated into that. The amendment also will allow these critical habitat plates to become personalized, which is one something people have been trying to do for quite a while.
Thank you. And committee members were wondering if there was any particular theme or anything that you would anticipate this license plate to carry.
Madam Chair, members, that process may be difficult, more difficult than the legislative process at times, trying to deal with all the interest groups that want to be out there. There's talk about a fish, songbirds, some ecological service type design. So we will have those discussions, and hopefully we can be done by January 1st, 2000.
Well, and just for the fun of it, there was interest in having a moose on the plate by some members of this group, so we'll weigh in as well.
I'll take it in.
Not that it means anything, but we'll at least speak our piece. Are there any questions on the 392 amendment? Anybody in the audience like to speak to the 392 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The 392 amendment is adopted. Representative Hackler, would you like to explain any more about your bill?
Madam Chair, I think we pretty much covered what before this.
Okay, great. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to House File 684 as amended? Members, in your package you have a copy of the fiscal note. In reviewing the fiscal note, there is obviously a cost to this bill. However, the cost will not be borne by any funding source that we have jurisdiction, but rather will come out of the revenues to the reinvest in Minnesota Gifts Fund. So it's kind of a wash. We can hold it over for possible inclusion, but by all rights, we could also consider moving it along. Is there anybody on the committee that would have objection to moving this bill to the floor rather than adding a couple more pages to our omnibus bill? With that, I will move that House File 684 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. House File 684 is passed. Thank you very much, Representative
Hackler. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much, Member.
The next item on our agenda is Representative Bernardi's bill. Is she in the room? Representative Earhart also has a bill on the committee. Is he in the room? Boy. Pardon? Well, to tell you the truth, I hate wasting people's time. And they are on the agenda and they're not in the room. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll take, we've got testimony from MnDOT relative to the Bernardi bill. If she's not in the room by the time we're done with that testimony, I'm going to adjourn this meeting. So if you'll recall, House House 310, I'll take off the table. And it was relative to a Medtronic proposal in the city of Moundsview and a property that was originally held by MnDOT being transferred to Moundsview and now a proposal to make it part of a Medtronic redevelopment project. I'm not sure exactly who is here from MnDOT. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Papko, we asked that you come back. One of the concerns of the committee was relative to the federal interest in this property. There is an amendment in your packet to deal with some of the liability relative to MnDOT, but there is also a federal interest in this as well, and we realize that it's hard for you to ascertain what the liability will be. And as you'll see from the amendment, they're proposing to pay the Commissioner of Transportation $1 million for the whole deal. In my discussions with the administration, I asked that both the federal and the state interests be addressed. And my first question to you is, do you have any idea what the range of liability on this transaction could be to the federal government or interest in this property?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, I'm Frank Papp. I'm the North Area Manager of the Metro District for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. I have been in discussion verbally with the Federal Highway Administration and particularly their real estate specialist. Their interest, based upon the original purchase value of the property, was a range of values. We had talked about 64%. In the original agreement with Federal Highway Administration, they were to furnish 64% of the purchase price. That, by agreement, in 1964. I believe when that land was finally purchased, that went up a little bit from our agreement with Federal Highway Administration. The state made up the difference to close that deal. That would have reduced the federal interest to approximately 62%. However, for the land in question, which was the excess property purchased north of US 10, the federal government furnished two-thirds, or $1,200, of the appraised value of $1,800. So their top-end range could be potentially any one of those three numbers, 62, 64, or 66 and two-thirds percent of the value of that property. By Federal Highway Administration referred me to the Code of Federal Regulations that requires that the current for lands purchased with a federal interest, that current fair market value be assessed, and that they be reimbursed their interest in today's current fair market value. We do not have a current fair market value appraisal of that parcel, and we have asked that the Federal Highway Administration give us their position in writing, and they are in the process of doing so, but we do not have that at this time.
Representative Hausman.
What was your intention about this bill today? Was it your intention to move it out? Does it need to go on to another committee? Or?
Okay. Representative Hausman, it's supposed to go to the General Register. I hear Representative Abrams think that it might need to go to Ways and Means. But because it's not general fund money, but rather a dedicated fund, we can send it to the General Register. In discussions that I had with the governor's office, I expressed that I thought that both interests needed to be satisfied, both the federal and the state interest, to some degree. We waited over a week for a proposed amendment. The amendment that they brought to us, as you can see, has a top dollar amount, sets a dollar amount of $1 million. But what I'm trying to ascertain today is how that relates to the federal interest in this property and what the probability is of the federal FHA coming back and saying that they want $4 million, $6 million, whatever. I think we heard a range of value as to what this property was worth. My best recollection, Representative Bernardi, thank you for being here, was somewhere between $4 to $9 million, but I can certainly be corrected if I'm wrong on that. So from my personal perspective, I don't feel that the administration has addressed the things that I asked them to. I will, as the way the bill is now, I'll move to get it out of committee, but I will not support this on the House floor. So this committee is the Transportation Finance Committee. You can decide what you want to do relative to setting a precedent for an issue like this. But that's the purpose of trying to get some information here today in the committee about the federal liabilities.
Where does it go?
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, sir, I don't remember your name, but I'd like to ask a question. Basically, when the original parcel was purchased, you got some wetlands in there, and it would appear to me that there are three separate breakdowns in this. It would appear to me that much of the portion that's left is a lower value portion, and I think I understood you correctly. You're going to take a look at the price of it again. That would affect the amount that the feds would get out of it. Is that correct? Or are they basing it on the original value of the total parcel, which would have a higher value than the parcel that's left, it would appear to me?
Mr. Madam Chairman, Representative Leiter, we have, Minnesota Department of Transportation has not begun an appraisal of this parcel. We are waiting to see if the Federal Highway Administration will require us to do so. The estimates that we have talked about are strictly that. They are estimates. They are not a fair market value by a certified appraiser. They're just an estimate of what we see for ranges of compared, you know, for planning purposes. We tend to ask our right-of-way people if we had to buy it, what's a range? And so that was the answer they gave back.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, so again, I guess that's a point I'm making. It would appear to me that the feds would be basing their percentage that they should be retrieved on your new appraisal. And it appears to me, based on what I see, that that's a lesser value part of the parcel than previously has been sold out. So it would make a difference in there. Is that correct? Is that your assumption also?
Mr. Papko.
Madam Chair, Representative Leiter, the appraiser will determine and take into account which portion of those of that roughly 40-acre parcel is developable land and which is wetland. And, yes, there would be different values placed upon those.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any additional questions? Is there any additional information that you'd like to present to the committee relative to this issue?
No, Madam Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much for coming today. I appreciate your time. Whoops, Representative Earhart.
Well, Madam Chair, I missed the motion. Where is this going to? Ways and Means? Or?
It's going to the floor.
Straight to the floor. Huh. Okay.
Is that your only question?
No, I'm just going to vote no then.
All right. Thank you. Are there any additional questions of the author? All righty. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to this issue? All right. Seeing none, I'll renew my motion to adopt. I guess I didn't make it yet, so I will move for approval of the 395 amendment to House File 310. I'm sorry, Mr. Williams.
Madam Chair, I think that the amendment should have some provision indicating where the money is to be deposited, and the appropriate place would be the Trunk Highway Fund.
And Mr. Williams, could you help us providing how?
The amendment would then be page 1, line 12, after $1 million insert for deposit in the Trunk Highway Fund.
We're
going
to get money back.
Okay. Are there any questions about that oral amendment, which I will incorporate into the 395 amendment? Okay, all those in favor of the 395 amendment as amended say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The 395 amendment as amended is adopted. Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. We now have House File 310 as amended in front of the committee. Is there any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of moving House File 310 as amended to the General Register say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. The amendment, bill is approved for General Register. Thank you very much, Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Okay, Representative Earhart. Welcome, Representative Earhart, welcome to the committee. And your bill will be laid over for possible inclusion in the Transportation Finance Bill. Would you like to explain your bill to the committee, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would so move, as you suggested. This is part of the housekeeping bill of from MnDOT that had finance implications to it, so we cut it out and sent it here rather than the omnibus transportation policy bill. And it regards the payment of bills from the Transportation Department Operation Unit in regards to dedicated amounts from the Trunk Highway Fund on their sign program. So I'm going to suggest that we listen to the ever omnibus Eric Rudine from the Highway Department about the details.
All right, thank you. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Rudine. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm Eric Rudine with MnDOT Government Affairs, and Section 1 of the bill would create a revolving account for the state sign shop. We set up such an account for the pavement striping program a few years ago, and it's been very successful. It allows that office to operate more like an independent business within the agency, and so we'd like to be able to do that for the state sign shop. Section 2 of the bill would give an administrative increase to the state aid office at MnDOT. It would increase the administrative withholding from the county state aid highway fund from 1.5% to 2%, which is about a $2 million per year increase in that account. However, it will not be used for administration within the department, but would be used for programs of statewide significance to all counties that they couldn't afford to do on their own. And some of the examples would be the local share required for federal bridge inspection programs, the 10-ton map that we've worked on with counties to develop recently. Those would be the types of programs that would be funded with that money. And if the money wasn't used, if all that money wasn't used, it would go back into the county state aid highway fund to be used on road projects. We have Rick Jonas here from State Aid and Mark Wakilius from our state sign shop if there are any other detailed questions.
And Mr. Rudine, if I remember correctly, Section 2 of your bill is supported by the local units of government?
Madam Chair, that's correct. It's in the AMC legislative platform.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions of the bill author or Mr. Rudine? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to House File 1317? Well, we're going to get done really early today. Members, I would renew my motion that House File 1317 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Transportation Finance Omnibus Bill. Any other business to come before the committee today? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.